This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT's out back on the fan on this Monday afternoon. 3 days, BT. Opening day for the Major League Baseball season. Cannot wait. Mets and Yankees will get underway on Thursday. So last night, I saw this, and I did a hit for SNY, as I usually do on Saturday, on Sunday nights on Sports Night, and we talked about this, and I wanted to bring it up with you here, but I saw somewhere even before that the Mets projected, or not projected, but the Mets rotation, what is going to be their rotation to start the year. And I think Anthony DeComo actually was the first to tweet it out there. And I don't know if you've seen this by now. I'm going to go over it right now. But when you actually see it on paper, it is, I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's brutal. I mean, that is a brutal starting rotation for a team that has championship aspirations. Not saying it can't work, because you said the same thing last year, but Clay Holmes is your number one. Tylor McGill is your number two. Griffin Canning as your number three. David Peterson as the fourth starter. And then Kodai Senga as your fifth starter to start the year. I mean, come on, man. Now, again, no Manaea. You know, Sproat eventually can make his presence felt, but right now, to start the season, that's a bad rotation.
Doesn't look good. I wouldn't overreact myself. I get it. You know, for a team that's got Soto and was basically on the doorstep of the World Series a year ago, it's not what you would think you would roll out to start with that kind of a payroll, but I think Clay Holmes is going to be phenomenal this year. So I know he's got to transition. I know he's got to get the innings limit up, blah, blah, blah. Innings limit up. Understood. Clay Holmes is going to be fine.
But he's not going to pitch a lot of innings. We already know that. And
true.
And for the record, I'm not saying that he's going to be bad. I'm just saying that there's an unknown about it. I liked him better as a four or five. There were question marks about could he be a starter, period. So let's say he can be. But as a four or five, your number one guy going in, and all right, maybe I'm making too big of a deal about opening day number one. Let's give you Holmes. I'll give them Holmes. And at best, he's a five-inning pitcher, no? I mean, some games maybe he's going to go six. He's not going more than six innings ever in a game.
I can't imagine that's going to happen too often. But I also think Kodai Senga,
right,
he might start the year as the number five. I don't think he's going to finish the year at number five.
All right, but the same way we go over the Yankees lineup and it's like, I don't know, question mark there, question mark. Give me the knowns right now in the Mets rotation. Where are the knowns? Holmes, like you could say that the same way we think Wells is going to have a big year. He's not a known Austin Wells. He's got to do it. He hasn't done it yet. We could say we think Holmes is going to have a big year as a starting pitcher. We have no idea. He hasn't done it yet. And even with that, there are restrictions. Tylor McGill, is he a known?
No, I'm not a huge fan.
Dude, Tyler McGill stinks.
I'm not a big fan.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be nice today. We haven't even thrown a pitch yet, but Tyler McGill, he said it himself. Oh, I got to put it together. I want to be one of those guys that stick. Yeah, you think? We'd like to see that too. You've been saying the same thing for how many years now? So I don't trust Tyler McGill. Griffin Canning? I mean, okay, maybe Griffin Canning could be a serviceable arm, but as, again, like a 4 or 5, you want to tell me that you're going to give him a chance? Sure. David Peterson. I like David Peterson, and I would trust him maybe more so than a lot of the other arms in this rotation, but is it fair to say Peterson's a question mark, BT?
No, I mean, yes, but I like him, and I've always liked him. I think he's got really good stuff. To me, the one is Canning. Like, take out, and again, that's why I know we react to what's happening going into the season, but take out Griffin Canning and now put put Sean Manaea 1, and now you slot down whether it's Holmes 2 or eventually Sanga becomes number 2.
Well, remember, they may go in a 6-man rotation, so maybe Canning anyway.
That's true. Like, Canning, I just don't like his stuff. I mean, his ERA was through the roof. He doesn't strike a ton of guys out. I think he had like 130 strikeouts last year, and he had like 40 more innings than strikeouts. He's contact, which I don't love. I don't love a high contact pitcher when your second baseman might not be a second baseman by trade, when your first baseman's average at first base and your right fielder has had issues in the outfield. I don't think that's a great setup from a defensive perspective, but I also don't think I'm not going to overreact to this, because last year the Yankees started Cortez on opening day, and a couple of years the Mets started McGill on opening day, and the Mets went on to have a terrific regular season. So I don't get nuts with this. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look like a $300+ million payroll, but it's March.
I want to irrationally vent on this before getting practical and logical about things. Peterson, he had a great year last year. The year before that, his ERA was 5. He's had, just give you his career ERAs. First year, 3.44. Second year, 5.54. Third year, 3.83. Ooh, showing some promise. Then 5.03. Last year, 2.90 ERA. Okay, great, showing some promise. And now the trajectory of his career would show you he's probably going to have a bad year. I like Peterson. I thought he was great in the postseason. He's still a question mark to me. And Kodai Senga is also a question mark. Basically, he didn't throw a pitch in a regular season a year ago. He had that one start before he left that game. Could it be good? Sure. But on paper, that's a brutal rotation for a team with the payroll that they have and a team that is expected to win the World Series. But to your point, doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter who starts opening day. It doesn't matter what the rotation is now, because you expect to get Manaea back. Yep. And also, you know, they could get Sproat, who I think is going to be a big factor. Like, Sproat, Manaea are going to be, in my mind, their two best pitchers. Maybe you throw Holmes in there, Senga, Peterson. Now you have a decent rotation. But it doesn't matter, because even last year, when we all said that this rotation stunk on paper, even worse maybe than this year, they got to the NLCS and they were good. I guess if you spin it really forward, though, can a rotation like this, even including Manaea and Sproat, beat the Dodgers or the Braves in a short series?
I mean, in a short series, I'm not going to say no, because short series, you never know. I would be more inclined to say no in a long series in terms of having a better record, or forget about the Dodgers, just in their own division. There's a reason why. I really love this Mets offense. I think it's got a tremendous potential. But there's a reason for me going in. I've got the Mets as the third best team in the division. I got them as a playoff team.
Right.
But I've got them behind the Braves and the Phillies. But here's the thing. I've got great confidence that the Mets are going to win some especially early, 6-5, 7-6 games. They're going to hit, number one. Number two, Cohen's willingness, when and if it's time to go out there and get a real arm, like a bolster it really, you know, whomever, whether it's Dylan Cease, I don't even know who else might be available, but some big-time pitcher is going to be free, and I promise you that if the Mets have a chance to win the World Series, Cohen is going to get him, no matter what it takes.
Yeah, I trust that as well, depending on the right, you know, it's got to be the right fit, obviously. And I also love, I've said this many times, I love the way David Stearns builds a rotation, meaning that I would never give somebody in today's day and age, after learning all that we've learned, I would never go out there and give a big contract. The only guy I would have considered it for this year would have been Max Fried. Yankees got him and they had to overpay to get him. I wouldn't have done that if I'm the Mets. I don't care how much money you have. I wouldn't have given Corbin Burns the contract that Arizona gave him, even though I like him. So I don't think it's a good investment to invest big in the starting pitching. However, I look at this rotation on paper, and I mean, they're lacking. I don't think there's any other way to say it. Manaea's got to get back healthy, sure, but there's even questions about him. What Sean Manaea are we going to get? Is he going to be worn down from a year ago? Is he going to be an ace? We saw him peter out in the postseason. My big concern I don't know who's going to be available, or you would think that if he is available, the Mets are going to go out there and get somebody that could be a difference maker in the rotation come playoff time. But man, outside of Sproat potentially being that game changer, where is the Mets' top of the rotation going to be loaded enough going into a postseason series with the Braves or the Dodgers or the Phillies for that matter that you feel really good about them?
Well, on March 23rd, whatever today's date is, I can't say that. You know, projecting ahead, and which is why I think, you know, Cohen's presence and his willingness to do whatever it takes is going to could change things here. Let me ask you this. So we came up the other day and we answered immediately, okay? And I think we're going to have a different answer here, but let's do this. So I asked Sal the other day, hey, biggest key to the Yankees season, you said Dominguez immediately, and I said I agree. Biggest key to the Mets season, what is it? Who is it?
That's a good question.
Guarantee we're going to have a different answer.
Yeah, I'm going to say Pete Alonso.
Oh, wow. We have the same answer.
Yeah, give me a second there. If you were going to ask me X Factor going into the year, I would have said Alvarez. Obviously, he's out the first month. I think I think Pete Alonso is the best.
I agree with you. And if that's – okay, so if the – I'm surprised we agree, but okay, we're leaning something here. If Alonso bounces back – now, I think he's going to have a really good season. I think he's hitting 40 bombs. I think he's going to hit around 250. I'm not going to go nuts, but he's not going to hit 220. And I think he's going to have 110 to 120 ribbies with everybody on base. I really think so. And if you get that kind of Alonso, well, now the Mets offense is what we think it could be and what it needs to be to work around some early season pitching deficiencies.
Yeah, but other teams in the National League specifically are loaded offensively as well. And I also don't think Alonso's going to be as productive as you think. I think you're going to see Vientos get flipped with Alonso. I don't want to say sooner than later, but at some point, I believe the Mets will go Vientos 3, Alonso 5. I just don't trust him. I'm sorry. I hope Pete has a huge year.
Well,
everybody expects him to break the home run record. I don't trust him. I saw it a year ago, saw it really for the last 2 years. I'm not just going to blindly say, yeah, Pete's going to bounce back and have a big year because he got paid his $30 million and because he got Soto in the lineup. I need to see it from Alonso. I trust Vientos much more than him. But I do think if he does what you expect and a lot of Mets fans expect and what he expects of himself, then I think they'll be able to overcome a lot of these deficiencies, or at least apparent deficiencies in their starting rotation.
Let me put this at you now, all right? So, there's a couple of good lineups out there. You know, Braves rolling out some big studs. Dodgers, obviously, 1-7 are pretty much loaded. Phillies have some studs as well. Is there a better pure hitter in the National League than Juan Soto?
No, I don't think
so. Okay, I agree. Is Lindor one of the top two-way players in terms of power speed in the – and I'm not even talking defense.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, agreed. Is Mark Vientos one of the – most interesting, whatever word you want to use,
great
young,
potential,
ascending, the answer is yes, okay? Right. And does anybody over the last 5 years have more pure power, with the exception of a healthy Judge, than Alonso?
No.
Okay, so right there, and we agree on all that. Now, there's varying degrees. Baseball is not the NBA where, you
right,
know.
But they're all going to need to pitch. I mean,
I get that. I understand. I know that. I understand. But I think that they'll pitch enough. I think their bullpen's better. I do like Manaea. I do think he'll be back soon. I do like Senga, who's filthy. I do like Peterson. I think Peterson's stuff is really, really good.
Yeah,
like him.
I know, but he's had that potential for years. Maybe he finally put it together last year. Maybe the confidence is carrying over from the success that he had a year ago. Sure. And I'm not saying it's going to be awful all year. I did say that last year. They proved me wrong. So I'm going to trust David Stearns. I'm just saying when you see that on paper, I can't take Tyler McGill. Griffin Canning, it's like he should be a 5 or a 6 at best. And there are question marks that I have with Senga. The same way we talk about the Yankee lineup, saying it depends on how you view Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, Bellinger, those guys that have the potential to be, you know, superstars or the guys that still might be. I don't know if Bellinger goes the wrong way. He could have a year like he did with the Cubbies, a year or two like with the Cubbies. Same thing with Senga or Peterson. Yeah, the best of Senga and the best of Peterson and the best of Holmes, that's good. But how do we know that we're getting the best of those guys? We have no idea.
We don't. No, we don't. That's why we do this before the season and see what happens. But here's the difference, I think, between the Yanks and the Mets, like the at least the Yankee question marks and the Met question marks. So the Met question mark, as we've hit for the last 10 minutes, whatever it is, obviously the rotation, not incredibly appealing going in. The Yankees lineup, there's some questions, some young kids. If the young kids, like if Dominguez doesn't pop, and if Volpe doesn't take a step forward, and all the other things, I'm not talking about Bellinger, Judge, and Goldschmidt. I'm talking about the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other internal answers. There's none. Where for the Yankees, whereas for the Mets, you know, if Sproat's not ready or Channing, like Manaea's coming, I think that there's more options, and I think there's more of an appetite to take on more money if there's not an internal option.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing you got to lean on.
That I agree with, the appetite to take on more money if it is the right piece. I think the Mets, it's nice that they have some bullets to fire here with Sean Manaea coming back. Sure, that changes the entire look of that rotation, to your point before. Sproat, to me, is very appealing. Maybe some others in the minor leagues that could contribute at some point. I just don't see. Remember, we're grading this team on a. This is not a hey, make the playoffs and hope what happen. You know, see if anything could happen. Hope for the best. They need to get in, and you need to feel good about their chances to go in the World Series once they do get in. Getting in at this point should be the foregone conclusion. If the Mets aren't a playoff team, something's gone significantly wrong. So once they get in, how the hell are they going to beat the Dodgers with the rotation that they're rolling out there in March? The good news is it's March, and this, you hope, will not be the rotation come October. But man, that's a thin, to put it nicely, rotation going into the season. When you talk about think about this, BT. Clay Holmes, the Yankees' bullpen arm, is the Mets' opening day starter. And by the way, we didn't even touch on Edwin Diaz, whose velocity is down. Like, we say the Mets' bullpen is better going into the year,
yeah,
which I believe it is on paper, but you trust Edwin Diaz? I mean, I don't know what to think anymore with Edwin Diaz.
You know what? They'll think about this. No, I don't fully trust him, to answer that directly. But also, you know, last year, you know, Clay Holmes was the starter for the Yankees, and then things changed. Like, I get it. We want to identify, and I think we have. I think we've identified for both teams, even though we've been busy with St. John's. Like, we've never lost, and the Giants quarterbacks and the Jets with Fields. We've hit all this stuff a million ways sideways. We're on it. I think anybody who listens to our show knows where we stand on what we perceive to be strengths and weaknesses. The beautiful thing about baseball is that what might not yet be determined as a strength or a weakness doesn't have to be determined in April,
right,
or May, because things are fluid. And I know that seems almost corny. Oh, things are fluid. Yeah, wow. What an amazing way to frame it. But it's true. It's really true. You know, Vientos didn't make the team last year. He looked like a Hall of Famer in October. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, which is why I even said, I tweeted this out yesterday when I saw the rotation. I was like, God, that's brutal. But it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. The part that bothers me is I want to be an irrational fan at times, and
yeah,
I want to go nuts with it.
It's fun.
Forget about it, even from a Mets fan perspective or Yankee fan perspective. From a baseball fan perspective, yeah, it is fun to vent and be irrational at times.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really hurts me is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So then why are we so diehard locked into every game in April? It doesn't matter anymore. The baseball regular season, opening day, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. And that bothers me. The fact that it doesn't matter if Rodon or Stroman or Holmes or McGill, whoever starts on opening day, means nothing. You're right. You're rational. It means nothing. What the teams are now, who makes the final roster spot, what happens with the DH, it doesn't matter. It takes months for it to. Look at the Mets start last year. They were awful for a month and a half, 2 months of the season. Didn't matter.
Yeah, it has changed a lot. I almost don't want to look at it that way because it would strip away some of the nightly enjoyment. Like I just love having baseball on every night. I miss it. I miss it more than when baseball's gone. I miss it more than any other sport. It's a companion. You know, I love watching the Yanks and the Mets every night, and I will forever, and I always have. But it's different. You know, when we were young, provided he was healthy or not in rehab, you knew that Doc was getting the ball. You knew it. You know, I'm sure, you know, for a couple of years in the 70s and even into the 80s early, Yankee fans knew Ron Guidry was getting the ball and Andy Pettit was getting the ball. And, you know, yes, there's comfort in that. It sounds good. Hey, opening day, our ace, our horse. But with the extra playoff slots and, you know, the game changing a bit, we've got to kind of adjust. It's just how much do you want to acknowledge how much the game has changed is the question.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Funny you bring up Doc. He's actually going to be on Baseball Night in New York tonight on SNY. And I have a question that I want to ask to you about Doc as it pertains to me hanging out with him a little bit later on. We'll get back to the calls. I see the calls on the Mets rotation. Obviously, Giants and Johnnies as well. All on the board here. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hit the street.
Continue with your calls, 888-808-1019 in just a second. So, BT, you mentioned Doc before randomly. He's going to be in studio at SNY for Baseball Night in New York tonight. And I've never done this before with him, but, yeah. You know, and I've become friendly with him, right? We text on occasion. Like, it's cool to be friends with Doc. I have some cards that I want to get signed by him. How many do you think would be too much for me to ask Doc if he could sign some cards for me?
I don't think there's a limit. Well, how many did you bring?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8 things.
And make him sign 8 or ask him to sign 8.
I know, but I feel bad. A couple of doubles. Like I just wanted the, you know, different versions, maybe different color marker. I've been into, for whatever reason recently, the one I really want is the 85 tops. That to me is like the money Dwight Gooden card. The one that as a kid, that was the one that you had to have, the 85 tops. But I'm like, yeah, I'll just be hanging out with Doc. I'm friends with him. And then I started to feel guilty. My wife's like, how could you take more than 4 things? I think 4 is the number. But I have 9 here. And you say it's okay to ask him for all.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if you're asking for 4, you may as well go for 8. And if you're going for 8, you may as well go for 9. I mean, I think the question I think the question is, and my answer would be, yeah, do it. I think the question is, do I ask him to sign anything? And if the answer to that is yes,
right,
I don't necessarily put a limit on it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go nuts with 30 items, but
well, that's what I mean. Like, but I don't even like asking to begin with. And like I said, I've worked with him many times, never asked him to sign anything, but I'm into collecting those cards. And then the one in my mind turned into, oh, maybe this one would be nice too. And, you know, 86, 87, I loved all those things. And then this one would be up your alley. The one thing that I thought about would be cool is the, even though it's for more so for Yankee fans, the ticket stub from the game that he started as a Yankee against the Mets in game 1 of that famous...
Oh, that was the doubleheader, right?
Yes, July 8th. I had my ticket stub for that one. I remember, you know, I was there watching him as he was a member of the Yankees pitching at Shea Stadium against the Mets in the first game of that Subway Series. The second game was the one where Clemens drilled Piazza, so I have that ticket stub as well.
All right, was that like, seeing him in that Yankee uniform at Shea?
Nauseating. I mean, that was a rough one. That was rough, honestly, even thinking back on it. Yeah, maybe I should just rip that up and throw that out, but or just have Doc sign it and have a nice little keepsake. All right, anyway, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get some Mets calls in, BT. Pat is on Long Island. Want to talk about that rotation. What's up, Pat?
Yeah. I just wanted to real quick just say, BT, I'm actually a Syracuse fan, so you guys should enjoy what you got right now because we're in the cellar. But Sal, on to the Mets rotation. You know, we just got to trust David Stearns. We said the same thing last year, and then Kodai Senga got hurt. And what happened? He built a pretty good rotation throughout the year. He's not given every single player a long leash. He showed it last year in the bullpen too. If this guy stinks, he's going to get him out. That's going to be the case with guys like, you know, Canning, McGill. He's going to be able to put this thing together like he did last year, you know?
Well,
it could be worse.
Well,
it could be worse.
Well, I'm sorry, Pat. You're right. Let me just interject for one sec, then I'll let you finish up. You're right in that we have to trust Stearns, and ultimately I do. Problem is, he signed Frankie Montas. Montas not in the rotation right now, and he was signed to be in that rotation. Last year, Severino, Manaea, they were healthy. One of the guys that he signed this offseason, one of the big guys that he signed this offseason to be a piece of that rotation is already out.
I agree with you there. I agree with you. Montas is already out. But look, BT said it before, Peterson was really good last year. He's looked good in spring. Clay Holmes, I don't know. He looks really good in spring training. He looks like he's got good stuff. Could be worse. You know, we could be running out Carlos Carrasco in our rotation like the Yankees.
Yo, BT.
He's looked good in the spring, though,
yeah.
Sal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the same thing, right? He's looked good in the spring. So how do I like Clay Holmes. I'm with you, BT, but the spring doesn't mean anything to me. I'm sorry. Clay Holmes also talked about the up-downs. Like, man, going back out there for a sixth inning was a lot. So I'm not going to, and by the way, the same way you can, you know, say that the Mets are going to be fine because it doesn't matter. It's early in spring. That's why I wouldn't go nuts about the Yankees rotation either. And they also have Max Fried. I don't like Rodon, but come on. I mean, Rodon is better than anybody that, you know, again, he's supposed to be. Rodon at his peak, That's what we're really at. The peak performance. Rodon at his peak is better than anybody in the Mets rotation right now. And I don't like Rodon. I don't think you're going to see his peak, but that's the point. The Yankees' upside, even without Gerrit Cole, is still significantly better than the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, probably, because of Fried, probably, I think. But I mean, I don't know if I feel that strongly about that. I mean, Yank's got some questions, as we know. As long as Hill comes back healthy, I think that solidifies things. To me, the most interesting part of the equation for the Mets in terms of pitching is really Manaea. It's not even Senga's health, because they pretty much accomplished what they accomplished a year ago without Kodai Senga. I don't think it's even Clay Holmes, who I think will transition well. I think it's Manaea. We talk about like Vientos and his ability now to kind of adjust to how the league adjusts to him for a young hitter. In a lot of ways, even though he's not new, but this version, or young, this version of Sean Manaea is new and young, this new windup. So, you know, right, as he was facing batters a year ago, I think it was the last 17 or 18 starts, but he took the Chris Sale motion and implemented it amazingly. But now there's a book, and now there's some video, and now there's a feel, and now there's guys who've been in the box seeing that slingshot. Number one, how do they respond to that? And number two, is he going to be able to stay healthy? I don't know if the latter, whatever is afflicting him now, like, for, you know, during the spring, if that's directly attributable to using muscles and parts of your body that you haven't really used your entire career. I don't know. But if it is, he's going to have to navigate that. And if not, then the Mets got problems.
Yeah, and by the way, this is not the rotation that Stearns built to come into the season with. It should have been Manaea, Montas, not in any particular order. Manaea, Montas, Senga, Peterson, and Holmes. I mean, and that's a decent five right there. And if you wanted to go six, then maybe McGill or Blackburn or Canning. Obviously, in this case, it played out to be McGill and Griffin Canning. Just seeing a rotation to start the year, the first three games are going to be a converted reliever to start opening day, Tylor McGill and Griffin Canning. That does not get me excited for the first series of the weekend.
No, but it will get you excited if you guys have the hitting shoes on, yeah, and you outscore and you score, you know, 20 runs in three games, which you very well might.
Yeah, I get it. All right, Chris is in East Hanover talking about the Giants and the Johnnies. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Love the show. So two things, one about the Johnnies, the other one. So I'm an AAU dad. I watch more basketball than I could be in my lifetime. Okay. And, you know, I think a lot of people were killing, you know, obviously Rick for not having Lewis in the game with the last couple of minutes. And, you know, I'm sitting there with my son. He's a freshman in high school, but, you know, we're saying the same thing. He's 3 for 17. He doesn't have it. He's forcing bad shots. And every possession at that point is so critical that, you know, you just can't have him out there. And he gave him 30 minutes to find it, and he didn't have it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are killing Rick for it. I think even the commentators on TV were going, oh, I can't believe it. If you put him out there in the last 3 minutes of that game and he's bombing shots, he's missing shots, you're losing possessions. And as a basketball lover and a guy who's coached it and watched it, like I said, you just, when a kid doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. And you can't put him out there, and you gave him 30 minutes, you know? But I love his response.
But my bigger issue, my bigger issue was St. John's is like, but not just him. It's not fair to say just him. Their defense, there were just too many layups that they gave up. And I don't think RJ, and I don't know the reason why, RJ Lewis was not as engaged and as buttoned up as he's been all year. Do you think that Rick, you know, sitting there, do you think that he actually wanted to do that? For him to do that, it's got to be egregious. And I know how they want to play, and I know what he's looking for, but I don't know how they want to play and what he's looking for more than he does. So when he sees whatever's happening with Lewis, which, by the way, I thought was also detectable, but not to the extent that he does, you know what? Yeah, it's fairly radical for some, but he played poor. He played very poorly. He didn't look right.
I like the way that you said it before, though. It wasn't just, because I think if you look at it from afar, you're saying, oh, he benched him because he wasn't shooting well that night. If it's not that, then that to me is more legitimate. He's benching him because he got away from what his game normally is. He's doing things that will hurt the team, taking selfish shots, trying to force the issue. Then that to me is justifiable. And you're right. Pitino doesn't want this. He doesn't want to have an issue like this to go out like that. He had no choice. RJ Lewis left him no choice, essentially. You have to trust Rick Pitino. I love the people that question, and look, no nobody's above reproach. Obviously, that's what we do, right? We second guess. We have some fun with it. We talk sports. But come on. If there's somebody that you're going to have to trust, it's Rick Pitino. He knows what he's doing.
Yep. If there was a little criticism that I would have... Now, again, I don't know how much they practice this. And obviously, you know, I'm sure they're prepared for everything. But the way the game was going, maybe, you know, do I deploy a little zone? Okay. Maybe that's a fair observation / criticism of the way Rick coached a little bit that day. That's the only thing that really jumped out to me. Hey, go back to John Starks, by the way. You know, so for those who are complaining that RJ got pulled, there's no guarantee that it would have gotten better. It could have gotten worse. Now, they still lost, so it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, there was also the school of thought that Pat Riley, for some, should have pulled John Starks in 94 when he was awful against the Rockets. Well, who are you putting in? Blackman with a bad back? What are you doing? Like, you got to have an option. There's only so many. They put Liftopoulos out there. He's not ready to hang defensively. They don't have any other guards. Jaden Glover's hurt. I mean, Kadari fouled out. What are you doing? I mean, there's no other. What other options are there?
Which is why I always would have stuck with Starks. I said that. Now, I was a Starks fan and I loved him, you know, back in '94. But still, who are the better options? Unfortunately, you're in a spot where that's your guy. You're either going to sink or swim with him, and you can't survive when he's going 2-for-18 or whatever it was with John Starks. So, look, St. John's needed R.J. Lewis to be better. If somebody else could have made some shots along the way, they would have been fine. Calipari said it afterward. If they just made a couple of shots, they would have probably beat us. It's not like Arkansas played a great game either. They didn't. But unfortunately, you know, St. John's picked the worst time to have that type of offensive performance, and it resulted with Lewis getting benched for, you know, the reasons that you mentioned, BT, where it wasn't just about his shot making or not.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Larry is calling from East Islip. What's up, Larry?
Gentlemen, what's going on? I am sorry, but I got to weigh in for a quick second. I have never watched a college basketball game in my life. Hmm. Never. I'm 58 years old. Because of you, Brandon. Only because of you. And Sal jumping on the bandwagon, too. I watched the game. So for any people who are calling up screaming about getting a drink, this team, from what I understand, hasn't done nothing for 25 years. I've been dancing in the street. We won a game in the big dance. Secondly, in this... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
You guys jump.
Go ahead.
Personally, watching the game, at the end, the game got a little, there was too much pressure for these kids. They weren't used to it. You've seen them forcing. And that kid, he went on his own. He said, you know what? He tried to grab the bull by the horns, which you can't do in a team game. But I just think it got too big for them. But for people to call up, do you see what's going around the world today? This is the Yankees. We're in the playoffs. These guys haven't sniffed anything in 25 years.
What
the hell is going on with this people?
That's all good.
But anyway, guys, keep up the good work. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
I watched my first college game in my life.
There you go.
Well, BT, inspirational, obviously, getting everybody around here in on the Johnnies. A rough end to their season, no doubt about it. But there's always next year, BT, an all too familiar saying around here in New York sports.
Yeah, I mean, I believe them. How do you not watch a college game your whole life? I'm not even saying St. John's. You don't put on the tournament. You don't see Duke. You don't see North Carolina. It's amazing to me.
Wow. I mean, I guess if you just don't care about it. I mean, I didn't really think about that. Yeah, even as a just, you know, bystander of...
Sure.
If you're a sports fan and there's big stuff going on, even if you're not into it, maybe by accident you stumble across the Mario Chalmers championship game for Kansas years ago, whatever.
Good call.
Yeah, there have been some good ones. So even me not being a diehard... you never filled out a bracket before?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not a big soccer guy at all, but I mean World Cup. I mean I've dialed into certain things. I watch Caitlin Clark. I don't watch a lot of women's basketball. I've watched a little. Like, that's just stunning to me. But I believe him, and I'm happy he jumped in. Listen, if you're a diehard, you've loved the season, and it hurts at the end. If you're a fringe fan, look at it this way: and you jumped in. St. John's gave you a bridge to the start for the Yanks and Mets.
Yeah, we could take that every year. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Jerry is in Verona, New Jersey, talking about the Giants. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, what's going on? I'm a first-time caller. I wanted to say with the Giants, I was really kind of excited that we might get Stafford, and then I thought we would transition to get Cam Ward. And I'm just thinking maybe John Mara is over there telling them they're not allowed to trade next year's first-round pick because Archie Manning's coming out.
I mean, I'll tell you, if his name was Archie Jones, I'm not saying the kid's not good. Thanks for the call. My God. I mean, do you think we're putting a little too much stock in blind faith? I mean, he didn't even play.
Also, there's no way I'm buying that. That you're telling me ownership, I mean, talk about dysfunction. If you think ownership would tell them they can't trade next year's first round pick because of that, then what are we doing here? Then Maris should just fire everybody and take over the total range, GM and head coach. Like, come on, there's no way. I know Mara has gotten involved specifically with Daniel Jones, which has been the biggest problem over the last, you know, 3-4 years, whatever you want to say. But there's no way, BT, that he would be saying, no, you can't. I forbid you to trade the first round pick next year. I wouldn't advise it either, but there's no way that that's an edict from Mara specifically to go after one player.
No, I agree with you. And listen, I think the best run teams, the teams with cohesion and consistency, are the ones that do plan ahead, you know, for not just for a year, but sometimes as far out as two, whether it's free agency, whether it's a draft. But I don't think that these guys have the luxury of doing that. I mean, because, yeah, they very well might make a trade with the eye on the 2026 draft. There's no guarantee they're making the pick.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mark is in Oceanside talking about his Mets. What's up, Mark?
Oh, I'm so excited for baseball. I can't tell you. I believe in David Stearns. However, I think he made one big mistake. He went with numbers in bringing in Paul Blackburn, Griffin Canning, and Frankie Montas instead of with quality. These three pitchers have a history of getting hit hard their whole lives. I think it was a big mistake. I would have personally gone for Walker Buehler, who has an upside, and maybe have brought back Quintana.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark, and thank you for the call. And BT, we've had this conversation. I like upside. I love that Mark touched on that word. I brought it up before when we were talking about both the Mets and Yankees rotation. It's why I think the Yankees rotation right now is significantly better than the Mets, just going into the year. Doesn't mean it's going to play out that way the rest of the year, but the upside that the Yankees have with Fried and even Rodon, and honestly, even Stroman. Like, Stroman, even worst case Stroman, is still better than Tyler McGill or Griffin Canning. And the Mets just don't have that upside that the Yankees do at the top of the rotation. Their upside more so comes from, yes, Senga a little bit. And yeah, I like Peterson. And Clay Holmes has some upside, sure. But Manaea has got to be the guy, or maybe Sproat. They have the upside to be aces, which is why I did like, to Mark's point, Walker Buehler. He would have been a guy that I would have certainly taken a flyer on for a couple years, because the upside for Buehler is dominant, nasty ace, and you put him in game one or game two of the postseason, you take your chances. Now, I know that there's health issues there, but I love the upside of Walker Buehler.
You were saying it for a while. I remember it well. I mean, listen, the thing that I think sometimes Met fans lose sight of, guys, this is an organizational overhaul. Stearns is here for a reason. Mendoza's here for a reason, okay? And yep, I mean, they've got a heck of an offense here. But the way they're going to build themselves out is of course, to try to, you know, buy low on some interesting pitchers and try to coach them up a little bit. They're very good at that. But I think whenever the Mets hit their full stride as an organization, which I think is probably a year or two from now, they're going to have young, flame-throwing studs who are going to come up and take the reins, much like they did with Doc and Darling and El Cid and all those young guns from back in the day. That's the plan. I don't know how anybody doesn't see this. So to go out there and, you know, hit your wagon to like multiple guys for long, you know, who might not make the ultimate difference, to me, it's stupid. I understand what the Mets are doing. I got no problem what the Mets are doing.
Right. The problem is that in the short term, you're exactly right. I mean, that's going to be the plan. They've now got the money invested in the offense, which is the right way to do things. Now they just have to draft and develop the young arms. And in the meantime, they're trying to piece it together here by going out there and getting some arms who they see some upside in, thinking that you get them in their pitching lab, they can make the most out of them. And so far, they're one for one. They did that last year, and they did it very, very well. Can they do it again this year? Already off to a slow start with Montas being out. But I trust David Stearns. I just look at that rotation and think, man, you know, really Tyler McGill is the one that gets me. I mean, Griffin Canning, again, he's a guy who got beat up a year ago. His ERA was, what, over 5?
Yes.
But maybe the Mets see him, and similar to what Cashman and the Yankees have done in recent years, or not even just recent years, you know, since Cashman's been here, finding arms out of nowhere, out of the bullpen, and turning him into great arms in the bullpen. Maybe the Mets could do that with these starters, turning him into more than serviceable starters. But when you see that rotation on paper or on social media laid out like that, going into a, it would have been even better if Senga was one, Peterson two, Holmes three. I could have lived with that.
Uh-huh.
But the idea that it's Holmes, McGill, Canning, before you even get to Peterson and Senga,
Yeah, oh, I get it, but that's just window dressing. You know that, man. I mean, listen, I like prospects to an extent. I'd be lying if I said, you know, I'm fully. I don't mean Jett Williams and Brandon Sproat and those guys. I'm not talking about those players or Acuna. But, you know, I am looking at the Mets' prospect list now, their top 30 prospects. All right, Sproat's one. He's a pitcher. Their fifth one, McClain, is a pitcher. Their sixth one is a pitcher. Both of those guys were double A. Sproat's what, triple A, whatever it is. So three of their top six prospects right now are either double A and above and pitchers. And that's the plan.
Yeah, and now we just have to see it come to fruition, whenever that may be. I do think this year Sproat is going to be the difference maker in the rotation because he's got that upside. Similar to what we saw with Christian Scott a year ago, although he looked a little raw, but still his upside is high end. He could have been an impact starter for them a year ago where they didn't have one until Manaea turned his season around with the, you know, changing the arm angle and all that stuff you mentioned before. Sproat, to me, could emerge as a legit number one or number two for this team. Pete is in Monroe, Connecticut. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing, Sal, BT?
What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, so I just saw a report that Adam Ottavino and the Red Sox have agreed to part ways, so he's looking for a new team.
Okay.
Yeah, they call the Ducks.
And who do you want to get him?
Listen, it's an arm. The Mets, the Yanks, I mean...
He wasn't good. The problem right is, now, Pete. Oh, sorry, Pete, to cut you off there. I wasn't sure you had much in the tank. Problem is, Adam Ottavino's not any good anymore. I mean, the Mets could have had him back. They didn't want him. Where was he with Boston? They didn't want him. That's who he was with. They just let him go. I like Ottavino personally. Very good guy. I've worked with him a couple of times. And when he was at his peak, he was a good reliever. I would not, if I'm the Mets or the Yankees, I'm not going back down that road.
Wouldn't have any interest. Zero.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Joe in Rockville Center. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys, yeah. So about the Mets rotation, I think we're putting a little too much pressure on who the, you know, the ace through number four or five. I mean, it, these days, how many starts do pitchers actually make? You know, there's not like these 35 start horses anymore. And Senga, we know, is a ton of injuries. So I have no problem with the way that they're starting out. And I say, BT or when you just mentioned Christian Scott. I mean, did he show anything last year? But before he went down with an injury,
I wasn't overly impressed.
Yeah,
myself. But he's young. Yeah, but I didn't see incredible size. He's okay.
Yeah, I liked Christian Scott at his best. He looked like a guy with potential to me to be a higher end guy in the rotation. Certainly better than some of the stuff that they had out there last year, who I just never trusted to be big time. And thank you for the call, Joe. Big-time difference makers. So at least the potential of Scott, who at times looked really good. I just go back and look at the game log, and obviously he got hurt, so he's out of the picture now. But when you look at some of Sproat in particular, you look at him, he's got the potential to be a difference maker. Will that pan out? Who the hell knows? I don't know. We got to see him in the big leagues. But at least I like the guy, BT, because he's got some upside that the other... Like Griffin Canning will never be a number one. Tyler McGill's never going to be a number one. Yeah, okay, so you're hoping that these guys could just get some outs at the big league level for five or six
100%.
Innings.
100%. That's the hope right now.
But Sproat, you would say he could project as a higher-end guy. John is in Brick Township. What's up, John?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up,
buddy? I've got a quick point on the Mets rotation. Who cares? It's just the beginning of the season. Like, doesn't really make a difference the order. I can guarantee you by the playoffs. It's going to be a whole different thing anyways. Like, who cares about the beginning? It doesn't make a difference to anyone. Come on.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, you could feel like that. I care about it because I'm a sports fan. And I want to see... I want to get excited about the season. And I still value opening day, and I still like the rotation. You're right. Does it matter? We've said that before. No, it really doesn't matter. Okay, so fine. Why don't we do this? Let's just talk football or St. John's until... When does the baseball season matter, BT? What, should we pick it up around June or July, maybe?
Hey, man, I can't wait for this week. Yeah. I'm good.
But that's the point. Like, oh, it doesn't matter, so don't get worked up about the rotation. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, maybe it doesn't, but here's when it'll matter. When you start to see the Braves pounding the snot out of Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning, and the Mets offense can't keep up, then maybe you'll call back and say, you know what, guys? You were right. I mean, Sal, you were right. The rotation doesn't look that good in reality, on paper, whatever you want to say. Is it the end of the world? No, in March. But that is, for a team that has World Series aspirations, that's not a good rotation going
on. No, I agree with you. It's not. I'm not gonna, listen, I think that sports has just changed tremendously. Yeah. across the board. I mean, we weren't talking about maintenance days when we were kids. Yep. We weren't talking about the first month of the NFL season basically being a glorified extension of preseason games. We certainly didn't look at Major League pitchers on opening day as anything but a symbolic sense of who your ace is. Like, so much has changed. We didn't know about the portal system. I mean, things change.
Yeah. It's sad to me, though, that the sport that the regular season used to mean the most has now had it minimized to a certain extent. Whether you want to get worked up about the rotation on March is one thing, but we all know that it's about the postseason as well. With the addition of the change of the format, the addition of a team, it's really about the postseason. But we got 162 games to go in the regular season, BT. It's going to be you better know it that we're going to get worked up about things that maybe don't really matter overall, but fire us up as sports fans.
That's what we do. You and I care, and I know a lot of people care. I cannot wait for this baseball season.
All right, BT, we'll see you tomorrow. Looking forward to it again at 10 a.m. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody listening and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Enjoy your Monday.